There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What's up, guys? Happy Saturday, happy weekend. Alex Curry is actually out. She's running around here in LA, but I have a special guest with me. Her name is Tracy Sandler. She is the founder of Fangirl Sports Network. She covers the 49ers very in depth. She goes between both San Francisco and LA. I don't know how she does it. She's a Renaissance woman within the NFL, especially.
Thank you. I love that.
And she's joining me today. I'm so excited to have you. Thanks for being here, Trace.
Thank you for having me. I am so excited to talk a bunch of NFL, NBA, all of the things with you today. So it's going to be a good time.
Amazing. Well, we are broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Be sure to catch Fox Sports Radio's Draft Night Live throughout the first round of the draft this Thursday, beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern, presented by Express Pros, the official employment agency of Fox Sports Radio's draft coverage. Insider Jay Glazer, former Cardinals GM Steve Keim, College Football Hall of Famer LeVar Arrington, and Big Noon Kickoff's Rob Stone will have pick-by-pick predictions and reactions to every first-round pick. That's Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern throughout the entire first round of the draft, live right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeart app, presented by Express Pros.
Excellent read, Tracy. We have Bo Benson, Chris Perfett, Kevin Wyatt as the update anchor with us today, and they're going to be helping me get through pulling hosting duties. This is usually Alex Curry, but she's out for today. We have so much good stuff, though, today. We have, like you said, NBA playoffs. We have the NFL draft less than a week away. We're going to be joined by Annie Costabile from the Chicago Sun-Times. Yay. To talk some WNBA because the draft just happened, as well as Mike Golic Jr. to talk football. And obviously, we have to get his reaction to Taylor Swift because he's a huge Swiftie. I don't know. Are you a Swiftie?
I am a Swiftie.
Okay. All right. So you guys are going to have to teach me some things because I am just not. And I love her. I think that she's uber talented. But everything around her is just absolutely insane. It takes over pop culture. I mean.
Oh, it does. All of a sudden the other night, it was like 9:20 Pacific time. And I was like, oh my God, it came out 20 minutes ago.
This is another instance where the Pacific time zone really is a buddy to
yes.
you. Because, you know, it's coming out midnight on mm-hmm. the East Coast. And then you have to stay up listening to 31 songs.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that I think the West Coast is also really beneficial when you're watching the NBA playoffs.
Correct.
And these play-ins. I turned on the Bulls game the other night and I was like, wait a second. Why is it just starting? It's 9 p.m. in Chicago. And what? What? It's past my bedtime, yeah. Especially when it's on a weeknight. But there are so many. We heard the Cavs. The Cavs just won. We're in the thick of it today. There's multiple games on today. But I want to talk about, given that we're in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
and they're always a big storyline.
Always.
The L.A. Lakers. I want to figure out their chances. and how far they can go. Because last year, you know, because they're matching up with the Nuggets for the first round.
Yeah.
Last year, we all know how last year went. Lakers get swept. But the Lakers kind of hobbled into the playoffs last year. Whereas this year, they're relatively, I mean, LeBron is day-to-day, AD is day-to-day, but like, when is LeBron not day-to-day, essentially?
When so, are we all not day-to-day, let's be honest?
That's true. You turn 30, and it all, 35, it all goes downhill from there. And he's even older than that. But the Lakers are healthy. Mm-hmm. And the Nuggets said as much. They're like, this is not going to be last year. We're, you know, we're preparing for this to be a really competitive first round. Denver's won eight straight games over the Lakers, and Nikola Jokic was like, well, I think they're due, so stop talking about it. He was the Nuggets are taking the Lakers seriously, but I just want to know how seriously you are taking the Lakers right now and as in when it comes to the playoffs this year.
So I grew up a Lakers fan, so know that it's what I'm about to say is somewhat painful for me.
Oh no.
I don't think they're going to get swept. I agree. Okay. They are due. They are due to win a game. Maybe they're going to win a couple games, but this Nuggets team is just better. They're just a better team than the Lakers, and that is taking no respect away from LeBron, nothing from Anthony Davis. They certainly are healthy. They're certainly better than they were last year going to the playoffs. However, this Nuggets team is just too good. And Kyle Shanahan always says in the NFL playoffs, he says, it's who plays the best for 3.5 hours. It's not necessarily the best team that's going to win.
That's great. Great point.
And so I think what's different about, of course, the NBA playoffs is it's going to be who plays the best throughout a series. And I just don't think the Lakers are going to be able to match up against them night after night and win the series. And that breaks my heart because I want them to.
I know.
Go Lakers. But I just think it's just going to be too tough a matchup for them.
No, I mean, you have to be realistic at the end of the day. And I do think, I agree with you, though. I think this is going to be a competitive series. And I also, LeBron is 13-3 in game ones in his career.
Okay.
So that bodes well.
One of those
for
three
least
being against the Nuggets last year. Sorry, guys. I'm sorry. You'd think I wasn't a Lakers fan with this.
But again, he's healthy. He's healthy. The team around him is healthy. But, you know, they were. And this is the thing, too, about the Lakers. What, they were 12-3 in the last 15 games down the stretch. So they kind of got hot at the right time. And I think that momentum can carry you into a couple of good games in the first round. But this is also matching up against a team who has been hot, essentially, the entire season. And you have the front runner for MVP, which we'll get to a little bit more in depth in Jokic. But it's just, it's going to be really interesting. And I hope for Los Angeles fans, I hope for a good series.
Yes, I hope for a good series for sure. And, you know, I also want to throw out, and oftentimes Los Angeles, we forget there is another Los Angeles team that is in the playoffs, and the Clippers. And I think the hopes may really, maybe the NBA playoff hopes should ride a little bit more on them, but I would be happy to be proven wrong. I don't need to be right all the time. And if the Lakers somehow pull this out, then let's do this. I just think the chances are not high.
I know.
I'm sorry.
But hey,
guys,
they're getting Denver out of the way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, this is probably a good time to have Denver rather than have to like match up with them later on.
That's true. And that last year they had them the second round after beating the Warriors. That was a tough series. So, you know, we'll see how this plays out. That's why they play the game, or games as the case will be.
Well, speaking of the Warriors, you're up in the Bay Area quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening there? I mean, it's, you have such a good core.
Mm-hmm.
And you have them locked in, like Steph Curry, his contract goes through 2026. Mm-hmm. They signed Steve Kerr in February to an extension that matches his contract up with Steph Curry. You had Draymond Green signing an extension, and he's still under contract. But there was a big chunk of this season where Draymond Green was not available to the Golden State Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have Klay Thompson coming up in this offseason. He'll be an unrestricted free agent. I want to know like how much the alarm bells are sounding for Warriors fans. Is this something where there needs to be some drastic changes made, or do you still try and keep that core together and then just kind of tweak it a little bit and see if you can get better results? Because I mean, obviously they're not too far removed from their last title, but I don't know. It seems like, especially the way that they lost the play-in. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was the earliest exit for any Steph Curry-led team ever.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know, how much are we hitting the panic button in the Bay Area right now?
So I have a few thoughts on this. I think the one being, of course, when you have a somewhat dynasty like you have with the Warriors, this is where the business comes in. This is where it always gets tough. Right. Eventually, it has to end. Eventually, guys, games, they get older, their games aren't as strong, et cetera, et cetera. But when you look at the Warriors, really, it's all about Klay Thompson right now. Mm-hmm. That's what everything is about. He's still a really, really good basketball player, but he's not the player he was. So they want him to stay. They've been saying over and over they want him to stay. The question is, would he be willing to stay in a somewhat different role? Is there another team out there? We talk about the Lakers. The Lakers could be a team like this. There's another team out there that could have Klay come in and stay in the role that he's been in. But if he's going to stay with the Warriors, it's going to have to be in a different role because they have to upgrade. So the question becomes, do you keep the core together? And like you said, tweak around. I don't think you have to blow it all up, but it's all going to be around Klay Thompson. That is the big multi-million dollar question right now. But that is going to be the big thing. And I don't entirely know the answer to that. I don't know the Warriors are the answer to that. It may come down to Klay testing the market and saying, well, you know, do I want to stay here where maybe if we tweak this and that, and I'm just in a different kind of role, I'm going to win a championship? Do I want to go somewhere else where I have the same role? That's what it's going to come down to. But it's not going to be an easy decision for anyone. And I do think basketball is a business. Sports is a business. We know that. But this core loves each other. This core has really been together a long time. And I do think that something will come into play here where Klay may decide he wants to stay with his guys and kind of figure it out, or he may want to move on. And I don't know there's a right or wrong answer for him. It's just what's going to work best.
And here's the thing too, like the new CBA has made harsher restrictions for the most expensive teams, which with the addition of what Klay Thompson would likely cost you, I mean, the Golden State Warriors roster is expensive.
It is. And this is so the other thing. Yes.
It's like, do you want to then have to impose those financial restrictions on your franchise in the name of keeping this big four together, or this core together that isn't the core it once was, but at the same time, they've seen a lot of success. They could, I don't know. Draymond is also a whole other thing where I'm like, they are very insistent that he's in their future plans, but I don't know how many chances you can continue to give a guy that now his antics, if you want to call them that, are costing him time on the court, which is costing your team. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think this all boils down to, is his inavailability when he does get suspended and he's good for missing few games throughout each season. It's going to be very interesting to see how, like, I think the path of least resistance is what is kind of keeping the core together and tweaking.
Yes.
But it's going to be very interesting because you're not going to be able to replicate the dynasty that they've been anytime soon. So we'll hold that. But budding dynasty is probably these Boston Celtics. I don't know if we can call it that. That's probably reaching a little bit, but it's, I just feel like the path in the East, we'll wrap this up really quickly, but the path in the East is it's paved for them at this point. Jimmy Butler's out for their first round matchup against the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
And now beyond that, Giannis is hurt. So like, you have to think that you're going to get through the Wolves pretty easily. And they're the odds on favorite to win the NBA this year.
It's the biggest cliche, but I honestly think the only team in the East that can beat the Celtics are the Celtics. If they play up to their potential, if the talent, they're talented, they're balanced, they have stars and they're just good. They're just a really, really, really good basketball team. If they play how they are used to playing, they, I think, are unstoppable in the East, maybe all the way through. But I think they're the only ones that can truly beat them. Not to be super cliche-y, but I do believe that to be true.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break, but afterwards, we're going to talk about a guy you know very well, Brandon Ayuk, and some wide receiver drama in San Francisco. We'll be right back.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut, the new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret.
Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Wow. Okay, Chris. I always get surprised, and I very pleasantly surprised by the music selection for the bump in music. But welcome back, coming to you live from the TireRack.com studios. I'm Carmen Vitale in for hosting duties for Alex Curry, and I have Tracy Sandler with me.
Hello.
To help me out. We just kind of shifted roles. I'm you know, I'm now hosting for Alex, and then you're in as the sidekick, I guess.
Oh, I like that.
Batman and Robin, maybe. We just finished talking some NBA playoffs, but Tracy covers the 49ers very, very, very closely.
I do.
And it just so happens that one of the 49ers, there's some drama going on in the Bay.
There's always drama going on with the 49ers.
I know, that's fair.
Always.
But we have my favorite, I always mention this, my favorite tweet, it's from Carter Donick, and it is basically a rubric for different positions and what their tweets are. So it's like quarterback, love my teammates, love God, let's go. And then it's, you know, tight end, derp. And then wide receiver, it's like the enemy speaks softly and carries a knife. Like, they are all so dramatic. And if you know the tweet, you know what I'm talking about. Brandon Ayuk, mm-hmm. Arizona State's own. That's my alma mater. There's some, he did the whole unfollow, which in recent memory, that has actually made a difference. Like, we've seen it happen where these guys are unfollowing these teams and something then comes down the pipeline, whether it's the form of a release, a trade, whatever it is. He's also been posting just certain things to his social media again that are just very mm-hmm. cryptic, very mysterious, very wide receiver-esque. I want to know where this stems from. I want to know what Brandon Ayuk wants. Is it money? Is it the trade? Like, what is the, you've got a good setup. I get it that they haven't won the Super Bowl, but they've made it. And this is one of the best offenses. You've got one of the best play callers in the league, in the history of the league, in Kyle Shanahan. You've got all these other fun offensive weapons around you. It's just, it's a fun team. Like, what more do you want, Brandon? Tell me.
Well, what he really wants is a contract extension.
Tell me what you want.
He wants a contract extension. Yep. He wants to get paid what he thinks he's worth, and I do not blame him for that for a second. So he doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to go into the season without a contract extension. But that's what this comes down to. The unfollowing the team thing, I find it all a little silly, but I think it sort of sends a message. I will take us back 2 years. Deebo Samuel also wanted a contract extension. He unfollowed the 49ers. He scrubbed his social media.
He scrubbed his entire
that's a lot of work. I mean, that's just a lot of work that went into that. And he requested a trade. As you guys probably all know, he did not get traded. He did get his contract extension. He refollowed the 49ers, and he has stuff up on his
page.
And
he's lived happily ever after since.
Lived happily ever after. So there is that. But, you know, there have been so many rumors about that Brandon has requested a trade, all of that. John Lynch denied it at the owners' meetings.
Brandon Ayuk's agent.
He's gone on social media and been very clear this has not has happened, that these trade requests have not happened. You know, I think this is one of those things where we won't know for sure until after Thursday, after round one of the draft. However, I would be nothing short of shocked if Brandon Ayuk is not on this team this year, if he doesn't get his extension. The 49ers historically do their extensions later in the year, getting closer to training camp. Maybe they get it done earlier with Brandon, but he's so important to this offense. He's important to this team. They see him as their wide receiver of the future. He's incredibly important to Brock Purdy, who is their franchise quarterback, who is another guy they're going to have to pay very, very soon. But that is a huge deal in itself. And we saw Brock and Brandon have tremendous chemistry throughout the season. The beginning of the playoffs, things were a little off. They got it back together. I don't really think he's going anywhere, and they don't really have to make the super tough decisions until next offseason, when they are going to have to make some really tough decisions. We talked about the Warriors earlier. Mm. It's going to be a similar thing. They're going to have to make some tough decisions. This is probably not the year. So I think at the end of the day, he wants a contract extension. He wants to get paid. That's really what he wants. Right. I don't think he's unhappy in the Bay Area. But he wants what he feels he deserves and what he's worth. And I don't blame him for that, because he should get paid and he should put himself in a position to get paid. And if that means he's got to hold out, I don't know that he will. But I will also take us back to Deebo Samuel again, because Deebo did hold out. He came to training camp a little bit late. Mm-hmm. He and Nick Bosa held out last year. They both were at mandatory minicamp, and I think those are important dates. Because
Brandon Ayuk so far has not been at the 49ers offseason program, but it's voluntary.
It's all voluntary. So
that's no big deal. But
and a lot of guys haven't.
I mean, when mandatory minicamp comes around in June, that's kind of the first date where we're going to realize how serious this is if he doesn't get dealt before then.
Yes. I just don't think he's getting dealt. But I will say this. Deebo mentioned at the beginning of this last offseason, he said that he thought he had a terrible season the year before. And he did, to his credit, say that he felt that the holdout and asking for the trade request and all of that contributed to that. Nick Bosa had a slower start to the season. He did not have any training camp. He also said that. Again, Brandon may hold out. And again, he should. All of these guys should get what they're worth. They are in a sport where the careers, even their longest careers, are not that long.
Right.
One play and it could all be over. Right. And they have to treat it as a business just as the teams do. But I don't think that we're going to see this go that long like we did last time. I think Nick Bosa's situation went way longer than anybody thought it would. I even asked John Lynch, are you surprised by how long it's taking? And he kind of laughed. And he was like, honestly, yes. But we are where we are. Right. So I don't think he's getting dealt, but at the end of the day, he wants a contract extension and they're going to figure it out. They're not, I just don't think they're letting Brandon Ayuk go anywhere.
I think that
he's also
is
under
crucial.
Contract for another year.
Right. Well, there's that. So you would have to trade, but you could, while I think Brandon Ayuk is underrated in the public sphere, mm-hmm. in the fan sphere, I think everybody within the league understands what Brandon Ayuk means to that team.
For sure.
And what he means to that offense in particular. I don't think that Deebo Samuel is Deebo Samuel without Brandon Ayuk. I don't even think Christian McCaffrey is necessarily Christian McCaffrey without Brandon Ayuk.
I think Christian McCaffrey is Christian McCaffrey no matter what.
I know. I keep waiting for him to slow down because he's like getting a little bit older and like it just hasn't happened. But like watching him in Carolina, like when I was with the Buccaneers and he was the Panthers' entire offense. Mm-hmm. For so many years, it can do it all these amazing things. But I do think that, again, this system just clicks and it works because it's made up of all of these different puzzle pieces that if you take one away, nothing quite fits the same. It doesn't fit as well in the Shanahan offense. And I think that Brandon Ayuk is absolutely a coveted guy, though. And that's what scares me, is that there are plenty of teams that do need a wide receiver. Now, there is a pretty good wide receiver class in this year's draft.
Yes.
So that probably works against any sort of leverage that that the 49ers would have in a package for Brandon Ayuk. But I don't know. I mean, I could see a team missing out on one of the big three wide receivers in this draft class and being like, I don't know, Pittsburgh Steelers. You have this year where you want to help out whoever's under center, if it ends up being Russell Wilson, which I think it will be, or even Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. You want to have that reliable guy because you got rid of Deontay Johnson. I want to know how much of a market there is for Brandon Ayuk and how much other teams are putting like a full court press onto the 49ers being like, are you going to trade him? Are you going to trade him? We'll give you this.
Well, but I look at what's they got for Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. And Stephon Diggs is older than Brandon,
yeah,
for sure. But he is a larger sample size. He's had many years of being one heck of a wide receiver, no matter what Twitter wants to say and how Bill's Twitter wants to make themselves feel better. Stephon Diggs is a top receiver in this league. So when you look at what the Bills got for Diggs, I think it gives kind of an idea of what the 49ers would get for Brandon, and I don't know if it's going to be enough. But going back to Christian McCaffrey, I think Christian also creates an interesting situation in which if the 49ers have to make a tough decision, and they may not, teams figure it out. The cap is a myth. They can figure out how to do it.
Cap is a myth. Okay.
I mean, I don't think it's a myth, but I think it's it's not a myth, but you can, we see teams do it all the
time. You can maneuver.
You can get things to work. We see them restructure contracts all the time. This is a team also that's very team first and not me first. So we see a lot of things happen. So I don't know that it's a myth, but it can be maneuvered. So they can probably end up paying Brandon and Debo long term, and it might be fine.
Yeah.
But if they're making decisions long term, you have Christian McCaffrey. You need Brandon Ayuk. Debo is an incredible talent. He's so unique. He is amazing, this offense. Kyle Shanahan trusts him implicitly. But if you are having to make decisions and you already have Christian McCaffrey, you need to keep Brandon Ayuk. You might have to make a different decision later. I don't think Brandon Ayuk is going anywhere. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I just don't think Brandon Ayuk's going anywhere.
We're gonna find out probably Thursday, and then again we'll see if he shows up for mandatory minicamp in June. But right now we're gonna go over to Kevin Wyatt for an update.
We got 7 minutes to go in the second quarter up in Minneapolis. The second playoff game of the day in the NBA, with the Timberwolves leading the Phoenix Suns by a score of 40-36. Kevin Durant, the leading scorer for Phoenix. He's got 11 points, a couple of boards, and a steal. As for the Timberwolves, it's Rudy Gobert leading the way with 6 points and 9 rebounds as Minnesota and Phoenix in a high shooting affair, as Phoenix 16 of 30 so far shooting the basketball, 3 of 7 from the 3-point line. Not quite as great of a pace for Minnesota, but they do have the lead, 16 of 35 shooting so far, as again we got about 7 minutes to go in the second quarter. The first game of the day, Cavaliers and Magic. The Cleveland Cavaliers putting on a defensive clinic, holding the Magic to just 32% shooting in a 97-83 victory. Donovan Mitchell, 30 points and 3 assists, as well as 3 steals. Evan Mobley, 16 points and 11 rebounds, also had himself 3 blocks as the Cavaliers take a 1-0 series lead in this best of 7 first round matchup. In Major League Baseball, they needed extra innings to get any runs across the board, and it's the Tampa Bay Rays outlasted the Yankees 2-0 in 10 innings as Nestor Cortez, 9 strikeouts in 7 shutout innings. Zach Eflin, 6 strikeouts in 6 shutout innings. Elsewhere in Major League Baseball, they're into the bottom of the 7th inning in St. Louis as the Brewers pulling away from this one. They're leading at 9-4. Twins on top of the Tigers, 4-3. They're in the bottom of the 8th inning up in the Twin Cities. And at Wrigley Field, they're heading to the 9th inning. At the top of the 9th inning, as the Cubs trying to close out their first of a doubleheader with the Miami Marlins. Chicago ahead 2-1. Top of the 2nd inning up in San Francisco. Giants over the Diamondbacks 2-1. Red Sox leaving the Pirates 2-0. They are in the bottom of the 2nd over in Pittsburgh. Nationals, Astros are tied at 1 in the bottom of the 2nd. Mets lead the Dodgers 1-0. They are heading to the bottom of the 1st. Out in Los Angeles. Back to you guys.
Dodgers just got on the board. So now we've got 1-1 with the Mets and the Dodgers. Bases loaded, too.
Yeah, they just get on the board. Yep, 1-1.
Yeah,
so
1-1. Here in Los Angeles, which it's now sunny. It was cloudy earlier, but all right. So much baseball going on. Holy Jesus. Like, oh my God. I didn't realize that many games were going on right now. But we're going to switch to something that just happened this week. Monday night, following the national championship, record-breaking national championship, women's sports are having this wonderful moment, and this moment is going to continue. It's going to be more than a moment. I want to start saying that. It's going to be more than a moment. And to talk about that, I have my dear, dear friend, Annie Costabile, who covers the WNBA, among other things. Talk about a Renaissance woman for the Chicago Sun-Times. Annie, are you there? How are you?
Carmen, I'm smiling so big. I can't believe that I'm on your show right now and we're not like getting, martinis right now.
I know.
But I love either.
I know. Same. And honestly, if I had my way, we'd be drinking martinis and doing shows together.
I'd be into
Listen,
that.
Listen, tell me when. Tell me when. Sounds like an ideal broadcast.
Oh, Annie, I'm so excited to have you on. And honestly, not only is women's sports getting their moment via the NCAA women's tournament, now the WNBA, but that means that people like you that have covered this league, and especially the Chicago Sky, and have been such an advocate for women's basketball, are getting their shine too. And it warms my heart because you work so hard. You are so detailed. All of your, the articles that appear in the Chicago Sun-Times, I mean, this woman waxes poetic and makes me like honestly want to cry anytime she talks about women's sports. It's incredible. And I just want to get your thoughts on this shift and how we can maintain this momentum for a really good product that was overlooked for so long.
Yeah, I really appreciate you saying that first and foremost. But the thing that stands out to me when I think about why our coverage has been successful is because we don't cover the Sky as like some one-off glory story about, you know, women doing good in the community, or look at women, they're so strong and powerful. Like we cover this as a sport. This is a sport that's entertaining, that has a super strong fan base, and it deserves coverage. And when you cover it that way, when you show up that way, I mean, look at what just happened with the NCAA tournament. This isn't a coincidence. Of course, Caitlin Clark has brought unprecedented eyes to this sport, but look at what happens when the game is put in primetime slots. Mm-hmm. People tune in, you know, and I think that's what we need to give more effort to, is putting these broadcasts in primetime spots and dedicating great reporters to covering these teams and these sports as we do every other team in major cities, right? It's like, it's not rocket science. It's like, just show up and cover the sport in a traditional manner, and you're going to see results.
I love that you said that, because that is the reality of it. And putting the games in primetime spots obviously changes things dramatically. And then there is, of course, the Caitlin Clark effect. But how important is it that the rest of these incredibly talented women in the WNBA are also getting their shine and getting their time and the coverage that they deserve? And obviously the effect Caitlin Clark has been incredible, but we want that to continue throughout the league.
Oh my God, I can't say enough about this. So one example I'll use, like in Chicago, right? Back when the Sky won the 2021 championship, there was a lot of attention, rightfully so, on Candace Parker. She comes home, she's everything she touches turns to gold. When Candace Parker enters a room, enters an organization, it just blows up. It's really remarkable to see the touch that Candace Parker has on anything she's a part of. But in her joining the Sky, it brought eyes to all these other players. Again, and we have been covering them, but it brought eyes and attention to all these other players that had been there, that had been putting in the work, that had been building the Sky to a point that even warranted a player like Candace Parker to come home and sign with the Sky. Two of them specifically I'm talking about are Courtney Vandersloot and Allie Quigley. So anyways, my point is, Caitlin Clark might bring these eyes and attention to the W, ones that have not been there before. But once they're there, they're going to be drawn to all of these other names, all of these other talents that have existed and built the league to a point where Caitlin Clark can even enter it and have so much power and be put in a position to have so much success, right? Like, this one conversation that's going on right now that is so hilarious to me is that somehow Diana Taurasi has been dubbed a hater of Caitlin Clark. And it's like, if anybody knows Diana Taurasi, she's one of the toughest competitors that exists anywhere in the world. If you think Diana Taurasi is waiting for Caitlin Clark with flowers on the basketball court, please sit down, okay? Like, she wants to go at it with this young woman, and that doesn't take away from the game. That, in fact, adds to it. So let's enjoy it.
No, and that was so much of the discourse, too, with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese in college, where they're like, oh, you know, they hate each other because they're chirping back and forth. I'm like, when have you ever thought that two men hate each other because they're chirping back and forth on the court or on the field or wherever? Women are just as big of competitors as men are. Diana Taurasi doesn't want Caitlin Clark coming for all of her records. Are you kidding? This is very elementary sportsmanship, and I really appreciate that we're seeing it level off, because I think that is a indication of the fact that we're making some progress. And I want to know how close we are, because there's another fun social media thing going around about people finding out how much Caitlin Clark is about to make in her WNBA first contract. Mm-hmm. And it's peanuts compared to what we're used to professional athletes getting paid. We hear that the commissioner of the WNBA is now going to try to fight for more money in these media rights deals. How close are we to seeing the revenue kind of start matching the product and these women start getting paid a little bit more of what they're worth?
Yeah, so that media rights deal is going to play a huge, huge role in it, right? Because the collective bargaining agreement that the WNBA signed was ratified in 2020, I believe, and extends through 2026, but the players can opt out at the end of this year. So if they do, when they do, essentially, because it's assumed that they will, that media rights deal that they negotiate for is going to have a huge impact on their salaries. I mean, as we saw, the historic deal that was executed at the collegiate level was significant. Mm-hmm. And the commissioner spoke about, you know, she's looking to at least double. And when I say at least, I tweeted about this because, yes, at the very, very, very least, meaning like that's just the jumping off point. You should not sign anything that's only double of what the media rights deal is now. But it's going to play a significant role. But the other thing we need to talk about here is the investment outside of just the media rights mm-hmm, deal, right? Mm-hmm. We know that the NBA is a lucrative business because of all the eyes on the NBA. Well, why are all those eyes on the NBA? Major corporations, major companies partner with the NBA. Mm-hmm. Why does that happen? Well, look at all the investment. Look at all the media investment from local to national that gets put into men's sports leagues. It doesn't even stop at the NBA, right? Mm-hmm. It's all of these men's sports leagues. And of course, they've existed for a long time, longer than our women's sports leagues have. There's a reason for that. Title IX, shout out. You guys put us on the map, and we have a lot of time to make up. But now that we see, finally, people's eyes are open to the lucrative product that is the WNBA and women's sports, it's time to show up in a meaningful way, even if, you know, we're not ESPN, even if we're not these major corporations. Because, again, it goes back to that first point I was making. This is an entertaining product. It's just good business to show up and cover these teams.
Annie, I'm so excited for you, too, because the Chicago Sky made some moves in the draft. They got not only Angel Reese, but Camila Cardozo, who was so instrumental in South Carolina's undefeated season, winning the championship. We got some big girls. We got some size on the Sky now, and I am so excited to see what they end up doing, how you end up covering it. I cannot thank you enough for coming on, Annie. Tell everybody where they can find you and where they can follow along on your wonderful coverage.
Yeah, you guys can subscribe at the Chicago Sun-Times. Don't be alarmed. I know it may seem like that comes with like some cost or something. It's completely free login. Subscribe. Give us your email, and that's all you have to do to read all of our coverage. And then from me, you guys can follow me at Annie Costable on all social media platforms. I'm on TikTok too, guys.
Yeah, we love a TikTok queen. Okay. Annie, thank you
Thanks so much. Thanks, guys.
Okay, and with that, we will have some more NFL conversations when we come back, and some NBA superlatives as well. To switch back over to the men's game, join us, stay right here. See you in a little bit. Oh my God. Just what I think. The 90s are so back, guys. Hey, I'm Carmen Vitale. We're broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios for Fox Sports Saturday. I am joined by Tracy Sandler because Alex Curry is out today. Before we get to more NBA superlatives, before we get to the NFL draft, we have some do's or don'ts on deck for you. And
highlighting the do's.
Ooh, I love that.
And putting a spotlight on the don'ts.
The subject brings me no joy.
Don't do that.
Are you on crack?
It's time for the do's and the don'ts in sports.
We got there. We got there, Chris. We love it. All right, I've got a don't to start out with. Don't mess with Jimmy Butler. Kelly Oubre Jr. landed on Jimmy Butler's leg in the Heat-Sixers game, which forced Butler finished the game, but it forced him to miss the Heat's play-in game versus the Bulls. Spoiler alert, they still won. much to my chagrin. But Butler commented on the Heat's Instagram post announcing his injury by tagging Kelly, literally added him, mm-hmm. and said, "We throwing hands." And I'm like, I love this, first of all, because obviously Jimmy's frustrated. He's going to be out for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. He's going to miss this first series. And I just love the fact that he didn't shy away from it. He just added Kelly and was like, you know what? Screw you, dude. I'm really mad. And you cost, like, my team probably one of its best players. So I don't know. I love Jimmy Butler from his time in Chicago. He'll always be a Bull to me. I know that's, you know, not the... Nobody else thinks of him that way, but that's okay. We in Chicago
do. And that's all that matters.
Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler. I like that. Debo once called Garoppolo Himmy Garoppolo. I like it.
I loved all the Himmy puns.
All the Himmy puns are great.
What about, do you have, I think you're a little bit more positive than I am.
I'm a little more positive. Mine are both do's. So I'll start with my first do. Both of my do's are around two of my favorite NFL dads that are just so dads, about them. So I'm going to start with Kirk Cousins, who tweeted the other day that didn't take long, about 3 weeks in, and one of his teammates turned to him at lunch and said, "You give off so many dad vibes." And my thing with that is, be you. Do be you. Be
also,
who you
how
are.
Did you not know that coming in? Like, Kirk Cousins literally has, like, a Kohl's sponsorship at this point.
Exactly.
Did you not know that he's, like, the ultimate dad?
But I love the idea of him just sitting in the Falcons, like, cafeteria, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. eating his lunch, and then he's like, dude, you're just such a dad.
Yeah.
And I love it. So one of the things I love about Kirk Cousins is that he's just so unapologetically himself, mm-hmm. and he embraces it, and I love that. So that's my first do.
Okay. Well, I have another do, and this actually doesn't have to do with sports, but there were a couple people that commented on it, like celebrities and athletes and stuff like that. Do live up to your character.
Mm-hmm.
And you might think of that figuratively. I'm taking it quite literally because I'm a huge Law & Order SVU fan.
Mm-hmm.
Mariska Hargitay, who plays Detective Benson, mm-hmm. on the show, she was filming in New York, and a little girl was literally lost in Central Park as they were filming and came up to her thinking that she was a real cop. And she helped her find her mother. And I'm like, oh my God, this is exactly what Detective Benson would do. It was the coolest thing. And SVU has been on forever and ever and ever. I mean, I binged it in high school. So this was just one of those things that everybody got in on. I mean, it was plastered on so many people's socials. It's one of those, like, the universe just kind of comes together and wraps everything up in, like, a feel-good little bow. And I thought that was great. So, yeah.
I love
that. A little bit of a loop, but...
My last do be a man of your word. And of course, this will be my favorite one to talk about, is Jim Harbaugh back in Ann Arbor this weekend for the national championship ring ceremony and the spring game. And he had said before the season started, if Michigan won a national championship, he would get a tattoo. And he got one before the spring game. It's an M, 15-0. The man was getting his tattoo and said, "I'm impervious to pain." Talk about somebody who is going to always be himself, but such a man of his word. It was epic. And then he was like, "I can see how a person would want more of these." And now I just love the idea of Jim Harbaugh with a tattoo sleeve.
That video of him, because it does such a good job of just, like, zooming in on his face while he's just staring, like, blankly into the camera, like, as the tattoo artist is literally, like, drawing on his skin. And he's like, I think he even, like, raised his eyebrows and, like, gave a little grin, like, when he looked at it. I really enjoy that, like, at a party somewhere, Jim Harbaugh is just gonna bust it out, like, "Look what I got."
For the rest of
his
life.
But hey, we're going to join you for hour two. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Carmen Vitale. I am in hosting for Alex Curry. She is out, and I have enlisted Tracy Sandler to join me for today's show. This is hour two. We're broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. All right. We heard it in the update. We're right at the start of the NBA playoffs, but I want to take a little bit of a look-see back on what's happened this season. More specifically, I want to talk a little bit about NBA MVP, because I think the field for contenders is a pretty good one, and it's a really balanced and even one to I still, at the end of the day, think Nikola Jokic is probably the guy.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But at the same time, you have Giannis Antetokounmpo. You have Jason Tatum, Luka Doncic, Anthony Edwards, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I mean, especially with the relatively surprised success of the Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, not that they were successful, but that they pushed for the one seed, and they were really, really good down the stretch, and Shai had so much to do with that. It's so close for me. But when you look at Nikola Jokic, and you look at what he means to the Denver Nuggets, who are so dominant, you know, they're coming right back into the NBA playoffs, seemingly not taking a step back in their title defense. And Jokic is leading the way. He missed out on the MVP last year, controversially, I feel like. Joel Embiid gets the award last year. He was MVP 2021, 2022, finished runner-up to Joel Embiid last year. I mean, the Nuggets are, this, I found the stat from Yahoo Sports. The Nuggets are a 69-win team when Nikola's on the floor. Jokic is on the floor. They're a 17-win team when he's not. It's a that differential is twice that of anybody else that we just mentioned, or that I just mentioned. And not only that, but Jokic has been available. He has played more games than everybody else except for Anthony Edwards on that list, too. So, like, he is omnipresent for the Denver Nuggets, who are one of the most dominant teams in the league. I have to think that it goes Jokic's way again.
I think it does, too, because when I look at MVP, I say, you know, what does he do for the team? When you say the difference in wins when he's on the court, when he's not, it's kind of, not to be dramatic, but it's staggering. It's a tremendous difference. And what does he do to the players around him? And does he make the team better? And I think he fits all of those categories. So I don't know how he doesn't get it. Everybody else you mentioned is so deserving, and I am like a low key Luka stan. Like, I love Luka
too.
Just kind of,
he's so relatable.
He really is. I just
like the way that he just wants to go out, and I mean, Jokic too, though. Both of them are just like, I just want to play basketball. I don't really care about anything else.
And I was in Dallas, where I spent a fair amount of time in Dallas for a while, and I was like, this is my favorite athlete. And I'm a Dak person too, but this was, Luka kind of overtook as my favorite Dallas athlete. Now it's Corey Seager, but I'm getting off topic. The point is, I agree with you. I think it is totally Jokic to win. And also, he's so fun at a parade. And I know that doesn't go into it, but it should.
It should.
But the difference he makes for the team, the difference he makes for the league, and they are dominant. And part of the reason they're dominant is because he's dominant and he makes everyone around him more dominant. And I think that's the thing when I look at like Michael Jordan. Did he make everyone around him better? Yes, right. He did. And I think that's what we're looking at here. And he has a tremendous impact. And those numbers are staggering. I mean, that is a tremendous differential. So I don't know how this year it doesn't go to him.
It's interesting, too, because you have to, like, Giannis is probably the best all-around player on this list because of how good of a defender he is. But you hit the nail on the head talking about what Jokic means to the Nuggets, who are one of the teams to beat in the NBA and have been for multiple years now. And that's what I think is missing in the Giannis debate, is like what he does when he's on the floor for the, like, I don't think that necessarily it's as big of an impact. And that is not to say that I love Giannis too. I especially, like, you talk about how great Jokic is at parades. Like, Giannis in commercials is the best.
That really should be taken into consideration.
Seriously. I mean, he's in an ad for like a website. I don't know, like, when you can build your own website. I forget which one it is, honestly, because I literally just pay attention to Giannis in it. But I'm like, it's a fun commercial because Giannis is in it, and it's like a really not fun topic, or it's just a very bland thing, and he just makes it really fun. But again, I think that Jokic just means more. I do want to talk a little bit more, though, about Shai.
Yeah.
About Gilgeous-Alexander, because he's such a fun one. He averaged 30.1 points this year. Coming off of a season last year where he, you know, it's the second All-Star appearance this year. Last year, 31.4 points per game. But he's now shooting a career high 53.5%. And I just, now it seems like we see like he's like a budding superstar that even though he had all these awards last year, it seemingly came out of nowhere, especially like
much like the Thunder.
And I think that's it's fun to see fresh faces, and you mm-hmm. see these guys being kind of, we're talking about the field of MVP play for the NBA right now, and it is different names. I mean, yeah, Doncic is still on there, mm-hmm. You know, obviously Jokic and Giannis, but like you see some of these other guys kind of slipping in there, and I appreciate that out of the NBA in general.
Well, I think with Shea, which will be kind of fun to see, is where does he fall in the MVP voting? Because I don't know that he's going to win it this year.
I think he was fifth last year, too.
So I'll be interested to see where he falls this year, because I think how he played down the stretch, how the Thunder played because of how he played,
right,
will make a difference. And so it'll be kind of interesting to see, because he may be the MVP of the future. He may be next year MVP. He could sneak in there this time. I just think it's probably yeah. not going to be him. But I am curious to see kind of where he falls in this voting, because I think it will give us a little bit of an indication of where he's going to fall in the future.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm talking about here, where it's interesting to see he's, you know, coming into his own. And now this is like the budding of someone who is going to be a household name, I feel like, in the next couple of years, mm-hmm. as we continue these conversations for who means what to what team, and these NBA superstars. And then you have a guy like Jason Tatum, who I think is going weirdly overlooked, even though mm-hmm. the Celtics are just kind of the perceived champions in the East. Like, we talked about it earlier, everything is lining up for them to just kind of steamroll their way into the NBA championship, because of the fact that, you know, Jimmy Butler's out for the Heat, and then because of the fact that Giannis is dealing with injury right now, it just seems like that path is cleared. And Jason Tatum has been that dude in Boston, and Boston is that team. So why is that not more of a consideration? But I think that speaks more to how good Jokic really is and what he means.
I also think it speaks, and here, watch what I'm about to do here.
Oh, boy.
I think I'm going to compare the Celtics to South Carolina, who just won the Ooh. NCAA Women's Tournament, in which you have a
like
very
that.
Talented, very balanced team. So one person doesn't necessarily get the star power
yeah.
As maybe some of these other teams do. And I think that's the situation with the Celtics and Jason Tatum. So there's that. That's what I did there. You're
I like
welcome.
That. No, I like that, because so much of, oh my God, we can just draw all these comparisons now to women's basketball, because Jokic is Caitlin Clark mm-hmm. at this point. Mm-hmm. But the Celtics are quietly dominating mm-hmm. the entire conference, whereas like South Carolina, especially in what was supposed to be a down year for them, mm-hmm. a rebuilding year, went out, had a completely undefeated season. Dawn Staley gets her third championship. Mm-hmm. But like all of the storylines are still about Caitlin Clark.
But I think that that's kind of the same situation that we're seeing here with Jason Tatum and the Celtics.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, especially when you look at, yeah, you look at how good the Celtics have been. I love that. I really, really love that. These playoffs are going to be really interesting, though, especially like in the West. The play-ins were more of the, like, there was so much drama.
So much drama. But I think the play-ins were created for drama. Like,
I know.
There's no reason to have a play-in, but it creates more drama. And I think it helps the sport, but
I know.
There was drama, but they were built for drama. And they delivered. Good job, guys.
I know. That was the biggest thing where I wonder if that can work elsewhere. I mean, not necessarily even just like the NBA or like into the NFL and stuff like that, because the playoffs are already a one and done, so that's dramatic
yeah.
enough. But I feel like for these series, you're starting to see more and more of this, because
they had it in baseball for a while.
For a while.
There was a one and done. And I mean, you had a couple years ago, the Dodgers and the Giants had the two best records in the league, and the Dodgers are in a one and done game against the Cardinals. They pulled it out, and it was extremely exciting. But they had the second best record in the league by like one game, and had they lost that game, that was it for them. That was dramatic. But then I think people felt maybe like it was too dramatic.
I know. But there hasn't been, again, there just hasn't been as much drama when it comes to the East, at least, and then the West now. I mean, there was that, like, who's going to get the, it was, there's a three-way tie mm-hmm. at the end of the season going into who was going to be the first seed.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I really appreciate that there was no sophomore slump for the Nuggets, even if they ended up as the number two seed.
Mm-hmm.
But now they get the Lakers, and it's going to be more competitive than I think it was in the second round last year. but I just see Nikola Jokic being that guy that's going to keep the team together as much as he can and really propel them forward into like the West, which is objectively more competitive than the East is. But I think that that has to mean that he is MVP this year.
I would think so. I mean, he would get my vote if I were voting. I'm not, but he would get my vote for the reason.
Well, if we were voting, how like parade behavior would also.
Also, actually, I take it back. If I were voting, I'd probably vote Luka because I'd vote with my heart. And that's why I'm not voting. That's why no one's having me vote for NBA MVP.
Well, I think they should. we are going to get to some NFL draft conversation coming up next because that is just mere days away, finally. I feel like it goes so slow and then all of a sudden it's here when we come back. Did you do this because this is in my Twitter bio?
Say again?
Did you do this because it's in my Twitter bio?
I have no clue what was in your Twitter bio. So
that's
this is
so funny, Chris.
This is on my wall. This is in my like permanent rotation.
This is the first thing in my Twitter bio says the X's and O's, they haunt me. But it's like X's and O's like football, you know?
Oh, that's clever. I like
that. That's so clever. Yeah. I've never noticed that. Uh-huh. That's so clever.
I love it when a plan comes together. We are broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. It is Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Carmen Vitale. And with Tracy Sandler, Alex Curry is off today. We're having a great time.
Shortly after the show, our podcast will be going up. If you missed any of today's show, be sure to check out the podcast. Just search Fox Sports Radio wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to follow, rate, and review. Again, just search Fox Sports Radio wherever you get your podcasts and you'll see this show posted right after we get off the air.
Thanks to our wonderful producers. That will be up. It'll be on my social. I'm sure Tracy is going to put it up on her social.
I will for sure.
Okay, we're all about the social. We're social girlies. We're social queens.
We are. We are social.
We are going to get to some more NFL talk because finally
we're draft girlies too.
The NFL draft is here too. I cannot wait. The mock draft cycle has just taken on a life of its own. I feel like every year it just gets more and more robust, I guess, but like saturated too. I always tell the story. I tried to tell my mom or explain to my mom what a mock draft was. She's not into sports. She's not really into football. And she was like, so you just guess?
Basically.
Yeah. And people read that? Yeah.
And argue about it. I'd get really mad at it.
Right.
Really mad.
Right. And she was like, huh, okay. And I'm like, you know what? When you kind of take a step back and you look at this, but I am so glad that we are now finally, we're almost past the prognostication and we are getting to what's actually going to happen. In order to determine, though, what is going to actually happen, this draft is going to be a weird one, man. I feel it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to have everything to do with the quarterbacks. And it's not only how many quarterbacks I think go in the top 10 or even the top 5. Mm-hmm. But when they go and who goes is going to determine so many things for different teams. I cover the NFC North for Fox Sports. Mm-hmm. That's my day job. And the Vikings are probably one of the most interesting teams in this draft because they don't have control They don't have control over their draft class, despite the fact they have two first-round picks. They're one of three teams that has two first-round picks. They're the only team of those three that needs a quarterback. And even so, Kevin O'Connell was giving this like talk at a parish in Minnesota.
We're all great football talks.
We're all great football coaches, but it was a huge congregation, right? And he was asked about the very specific differences between JJ McCarthy and Drake May as quarterback prospects and what they can do and yada, 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 and like what their strategy is. And Kevin O'Connell was like, well, you know, we also need some teams to be complicit with the Minnesota Vikings getting a quarterback. Actually, we just need one of those teams to be complicit in getting a quarterback. And he's like, I may or may not have sent a bouquet of flowers to Robert Kraft because so much hinges on that third spot with the Patriots. Are they self-aware enough to trade down and get a haul and kind of accelerate their rebuild? Or are they going to take advantage of being in the third overall spot with a good quarterback class? I see both sides. I'm team haul. But then trading up into the third spot is also only worth it if your guy is there. And who is Washington going to take? They went so far as to bring in all of these guys at once.
Which is something Adam Peters took from the 49ers.
Yes.
So I just want to say that is so it became a big deal because it was quarterbacks and because it's Adam Peters' first year as the GM of the Commanders. But that is something the 49ers have done, is they bring prospects in to see how they interact with each other.
I think it's so interesting, though, doing that with quarterbacks who are so used to, you know, they're the ones in charge. They're like, and rumors are coming out now that Jaden Daniels was not pleased with that process, or his agents were, even though his agents came and said, no, this is fake news, we don't care, yada, yada, yada. But I have to think, where there's smoke, there's fire, because there's been more smoke now about Jaden Daniels wanting to go to specific places. And one of those places is the Minnesota Vikings. And so now you're kind of shifting where everybody thought it was Drake May. And then it was like, okay, well, if they can't get Drake May, they can get J.J. McCarthy, who I think would be great in Minnesota, quite honestly.
That is, I think, I don't know anybody who follows me knows that's what I want for J.J. I want J.J. to go to the Minnesota Vikings.
You've got a ton of talent on the offensive side of the ball. You have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson. You have a good offensive line, although some of the interior guys are, you know, you could get a little better in there. You have a defense that can win you games. And you have a bridge starter in Sam Darnold that you do not have to be the guy right
Kevin O'Connell
and Josh McCown.
Yeah,
you've got former quarterbacks.
And I think, and I love J.J. McCarthy. I think it's been made clear what a Michigan fan I am, and I absolutely love J.J. McCarthy. But I think it would behoove J.J. McCarthy to go into a situation where he didn't have to come in day one and save the franchise. He can come in probably mid-season, I think, depending how things are going. Even if it was a full season, I think that would be the best thing for him. I actually think that's one of the best things for all rookie quarterbacks.
Oh, like, it is.
C.J. Stroud is an anomaly, but he also came into a decent situation. But I think it's a great thing for all rookie quarterbacks. I think for him to have to go to the Commanders, for anyone to go to the Commanders and be like, well, good luck, save the franchise, is a lot.
Yeah.
But this smoke coming out, I don't know. I've never really thought J.J. was going to the Commanders, though. I still think it's going to be Jaden Daniels, but I don't know everything.
Or Drake May.
But then I still think you end up with potentially getting JJ to Minnesota. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. But it is the amount of quarterbacks, where they go, what teams decide to do. It'll be interesting. And I do think that what the Commanders did perhaps did throw a wrinkle into this process. I mean, the Commanders may have had an idea. Maybe it really did throw a wrinkle into the process. Maybe that really was their way of deciding who they want, because it says a lot. And if you are a guy who thinks they're the guy and can come in and still interact well with your competition, so to speak, it says a lot about you and what you can do in an organization.
Yeah, and I think there's a competition factor to that. And I really think that you can learn a lot about a guy's character and personality from that. But at the same time, like, I want my quarterback to be cocky. I want my quarterback to come in and be like, why is everybody else here? I'm the dude. That's one of those positions where, like, you need, like, too much confidence doesn't exactly exist, especially if you can, obviously, if you can back it up. That's that's the big part here. But it will be very interesting to see, all right, say Drake May does go. Well, then do you really push to get to that third spot with the Patriots if you're the Vikings? And if you do, does that mean you're going up to get Jaden Daniels? Or does that mean, can you afford to wait until maybe Arizona's pick if your guy is J.J. McCarthy and you can let the command or the Patriots get Jaden Daniels? Everything has been so convoluted, and now it's lying season two. So, like, I don't know that I buy a ton of stock in Jaden Daniels to the Vikings necessarily, but something Kevin O'Connell said in that, if you go back and watch the video, I tweeted it out about this talk with this congregation. Something he said in that, what, like, the clip was, I have had to, he essentially alluded to having to veto a couple of quarterback ideas.
Okay.
Or, like, he's been known as, like, the quarterback killer because he is finding certain flaws, or he is not exactly on the same page with some of these guys that even his staff has been. That's kind of what it alluded to. And I was like, okay, well, if there hasn't been a lot of smoke with the Vikings and Jaden Daniels, was this Kevin O'Connell's way of kind of saying, yeah, I'm not really in on Drake May. I'm not really in on J.J. McCarthy. I'm actually in on Jaden Daniels. And, like, they went to Baton Rouge. They met with Jaden Daniels at LSU. and like all the brass did. So I'm like, oh, or is that them trying to throw people?
They also
the
all
scent?
Met with JJ McCarthy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And like met with Drake May. Like they did all that too. But this late in the game, and for Kevin O'Connell to say, I had to kind of fight off some quarterback ideas in favor of what I want to do. And then the last thing that they just did was go down to Baton Rouge. That kind of, I don't know. I don't know how much to read into this. It's going, come Thursday, it's just going to be an insane draft. It really is. And we didn't even talk about how this could matriculate into different positions, because we could not see a defensive player go in the top 10, in the top 15 even.
We may not. But going back to your question about then do you put it all in to get to number three, the reality is if you have your guy and it's the guy you want
and he's there
at three,
yeah,
you do it.
Get it.
But you do not, and this is something I think the 49ers could tell you they learned, you do not trade up to three and not know the guy that you want and then pick. So, and then, or so then decide a couple days before. But I think that's really important. But yeah, I think with the draft, especially with a team like the Vikings, for all the reasons that you mentioned, good offensive line, Justin Jefferson, Kevin O'Connell, Josh McCann, all the things, good defense. They're in a win, not win now, but kind of they're in a win now place. So they don't need to be too cute. So if they have their guy and they're like, he's there at three and the Patriots are willing to deal and we want him, whoever him is.
But it depends on the Patriots.
But it depends on the Patriots.
Depends on the Patriots.
But I think that's the thing. And then if the Patriots take someone else. But I don't think if your guy's not there at four, don't trade up everything at four just to get a quarterback. That's my feeling on that.
That is. We are going to talk a little bit more about the offensive players that could go, and especially the offensive line.
Yes.
Because right after we go to Kevin for an update break.
Yeah, they're in the middle of the third quarter up in Minneapolis with the Timberwolves leading the Phoenix Suns 76-68. Kevin Durant doing all he can to keep Phoenix in this game as he's got 28 points along with three rebounds as well as a steal and a block. But it is Phoenix down by eight as Karl Anthony Towns leading the score sheet for Minnesota. 19 points. He's off 5-9 shooting. Also a perfect 8-of-8 from the free throw line. Six rebounds, four assists as well as a steal. Karl Anthony Towns, an outstanding game so far for Minnesota. Rudy Gobert on the verge of a double-double. He's got 9 points and 11 rebounds as they're approaching the five-minute mark up there in the Twin Cities. Earlier today, the Cavaliers smothering the Orlando Magic, 97-83, holding Orlando to 32% shooting. They also held them to just 8-of-37 from beyond the three-point arc. Donovan Mitchell led the way for Cleveland with 30 points. Also had himself 3 assists, 3 steals, and Evan Mobley had a double-double, 16 points, 11 rebounds to go along with a couple of assists and 3 blocks. Coming up later today in the NBA, about 30 minutes or so from now, will be at Madison Square Garden, 76ers and Knicks, first game of that best-of-7 series. Lakers and Nuggets will get going at 8:30 in game one of that series. Now, the Lakers have not beaten Denver in 490 days, so they're hoping to reverse that trend. That includes that sweep in the Western Conference Finals last year as Lakers are trying to at least reverse that trend, get themselves on the victory board here in that series. In Major League Baseball, we have had a few games go final already. Marlins hold off the Cubs. They come from behind to beat Chicago 3-2 at Wrigley Field. Brewers with a blowout win against the Cardinals 12-5 at Busch Stadium. Twins over the Tigers 4-3, and in extra innings, that's what it took to get some scoring in this ball game. But the Rays outlast the Yankees in an outstanding pitcher's duel between Nestor Cortez and Zach Eflin. Cortez, 9 strikeouts in 7 innings. Eflin, 6 strikeouts and in 6 innings. Other scores going on right now, Major League Baseball, the Dodgers and Mets. New York has taken a 2-1 lead over Los Angeles. So right now up to bat are the Dodgers in the bottom of the 4th inning out in Los Angeles. Nationals over the Astros 2-1. They're in the top of the 7th inning in Washington. Red Sox leading the Pirates 2-1. They're in the top of the 6th. And the Diamondbacks and Giants all knotted up at 3. They're in the bottom of the 5th inning up in San Francisco. Back to you, ladies.
That was Kevin Wire. Thank you so much. We were talking about the NFL draft.
We were.
Some offensive linemen. It's a great tackle class. And to talk more about that, we have a former Notre Dame offensive lineman. somebody that's got the gift of gab, the host of the Gojo and Golic podcast, Mike Golic Jr. How are you, friend?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you guys having me. Excited to talk about some of this grade A top choice beef we got coming out this year.
What hell yeah. Fun. Hell yeah, dude. We were talking mostly about the quarterbacks last segment, just given the fact that how many are going to go in the top 10, top 5, and how much depends on not only how many go, but who goes and when they go. But then when you look at the rest of the top 10, you see offensive need after offensive need after offensive need. We could potentially not see an offense or a defensive player go in the top 10, top 15. And that is a testament to A, the wide receiver class, but B, this tackle class, man. I want to break this down for the big guys. Who gets like the USDA choice stamp on the Mike Golic Jr. big board of offensive tackle beef?
I know who he's going to say.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I have to obviously, as you guys mentioned, admit my biases up front and say, yes, I am a former Notre Dame offensive lineman. My claim to fame is being a year older than Zach Martin, and thus I can claim to have taught him everything he knows,
ooh,
even though he can learn more about what not to do by watching me than what to do. That's a story for another day.
There's a lot to be said though.
All that is to say, like, I do think Joe Alt would be the first tackle off my board, even if that weren't the case. And I went in trying to really go with a fine-tooth comb over this situation because there's so much to like about this tackle class, like you said, Carm. But I think at the end of the day with Joe, it's twofold. Is one, in this day and age in the NFL, I really do think you need to rely on pedigree, guys that come in technically more ready when you're picking this high in the first round, because the premium on someone you can plug in right away and have be effective in a day and age where you just don't have as much time on the field with these guys because of the collective bargaining agreement, I think he checks that box. Well, also having a ton of upside. We've heard plenty about how, hey, this is a guy that made the switch from tight end to tackle when he made the move from high school to college. He's a guy that's 21 going on 22, so he's got a lot of time to work with all these physical gifts. And so I think he provides the best mix of immediate ability to step onto a field and be effective, not be overwhelmed by what you're going to see in the NFL. They were schemed multiple at Notre Dame, so he's got a lot of looks at that, while also saying, hey, spending a high pick on this, we've also got upside that we can look forward to.
And just because you're biased doesn't mean you're wrong. I think he is far and away the best tackle in the draft. And there are certainly fantastic guys close behind him, but he has been excellent. But let's talk about this wide receiver class. This is one heck of a class. And as we talked about, the wide receivers, the quarterbacks have a lot to do with the fact we may not see a defensive player go in the top 10, top 15. Your team, the thing with these wide receivers, they're so different. Romeo Dunze, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, they're so different and they bring so many different things. But which one of them, for all the reasons you just talked about, Joe Alt being ready, which one of them do you think is ready day one to be a game changer?
So I actually think there's two right away that can come in no matter where they end up and be in great position to succeed. And that would be Marvin Harrison Jr., who'd be my first pick. He's everything that we have talked about him being for the last few years. I think this draft cycle, we honestly just got bored, and you know, you have to play with some of the other toys on the table. And yep. I think it's happening in a lot of positions as we head toward the draft, by the way. Like, so you look at OT2, Olufoshano from Penn State's going to be in the mix in that, I think, a lot more than people would have thought.
Yep.
A guy who probably would have been a top five pick last year if he had come out in a less crowded class. Brock Bowers the same way, and I think for Marvin Harrison Jr., it's going to be the same story where, hey, we're done overthinking this, and you're going to go back to who can you trust the most to come out there and be pro-ready, and there is so much polish already on this guy's game. I would trust him in a heartbeat, but then Roma Dunze is not far behind. What they asked him to do in that Washington offense, yeah, maybe a little less over the middle of the field, but the contested catches, the catch radius on him especially in the end zone, the body control that he has at his size, it's like a basketball player. It's incredible. And so I think you can come in and trust him right away to elevate your team in those 50-50 ball areas and be a real difference maker up front. Malik Nabers is a great player. His speed is tantalizing. He's as explosive as any receiver in this class, but there might be some limitations either, you know, size, the slot, something like that, or just in general, the kind of scheme that you're going to need, because we haven't seen him have to get off press coverage as much as those other guys, have to work in complex situations because they just had so much speed on that deep on that offense at LSU, and certainly a great quarterback in Jaden Daniels that took a lot of attention away.
Something you just said, and maybe I'm just a prisoner of the moment, Carmen, I'm interested in your thoughts on this too. Does it feel like in this draft, more than any other, we are overthinking and we are just bored? And it's like, well, we're just not there yet, so let's keep just rehashing and relooking at things more than we normally do.
I think so. And I mean, I think this happens a lot when we've got prospects that we have a lot of tape on.
Yeah.
Like the draft is, I think, most fun conversationally when you've got guys that are incredibly talented, but without a ton of reps under their belt. Mm-hmm. And for everybody else, like the prime example to me is always, and certainly I want to separate what's happened for him off the field since this and what we were doing and exercising and trying to grade the prospect, is Deshaun Watson coming out in the same year as Mitch Trubisky, where we had seen Deshaun Watson perform at a high level consistently during his time at Clemson over a number of years, and Mitch had all this great talent that we saw in basically a slash in a season, and we got so much more hung up on that, the traits, not necessarily the tape, and I think kind of learned a lesson there. And so I think that applies to a lot of these guys in this draft class, where Brock Bowers has been a name for 3 years now. Uh-huh. Marvin Harrison Jr., since he stepped foot on Ohio State's campus, has been considered the best receiver to come through there. On and on down the list, I think we've done that ad nauseum this year.
And I think it's interesting, too, to consider the COVID factor to all of this, where some of these guys are older and they've had more of a chance in college, and we've seen a lot more from them, where I think you're talking a lot more about player floors this draft than you are about player ceilings, because there's just not as much, not as many guys that have a question mark, like you were just talking about, Mike. But go ahead.
And I think you've seen that. Well, and I think you saw, like, this might also be a little bit of the Brock Purdy effect, where, hey, oh, especially at the most important position, the importance of a guy with a high floor coming into these offenses that are a little more ready-made for the quarterback, a team that might have more in place around that position and doesn't need to come them to come in and save the world. And then you look around everywhere else and say, huh, maybe we can apply that to more places. So I think that combined, which is also like an incredible amount of talent in this group, makes it really, really interesting and a lot different. The COVID factor also, Carmen, I think applies to the evaluation process, where we've seen a number of these high-profile guys decide, we don't want to play the game anymore. We don't want to do your stuff at the combine. We don't need to do stuff at the pro day because they saw Penei Sewell, because they saw Jamar Chase, guys that sat out entire seasons, didn't have to go through that process, and the scouting world had to evolve a bit out of need during COVID.
Right.
And now I think a lot of high-end prospects are saying, why do I need to do this if we all know you're still going to end up picking me?
That, and I think the NIL and all of the transfer portal, all these guys are businessmen too, and they realize that time is money and their time is worth something, so they're not going to spend any time doing anything they don't want to or need to do. But going back to, we talk about this tackle class and how good it is, and then the reverse of this, every reaction has a, or every action has an equal and opposite reaction, right? Whatever law that is. The defensive side of the ball, it's not as defensive rich of a draft, but I think we're undervaluing a lot of these D tackles, especially given today's NFL, where you have to be able to push the pocket. Who is your beef on the other side of the line that we should be looking out for that could maybe sneak, go a little higher, sneak a little bit further up the draft boards than we're talking about?
Yeah, I think Byron Murphy's been one of the winners of the offseason, the D tackle out of Texas. Who, you know, not, it's interesting that it took, I think, him going to the combine and seeing him run drills next to all these other guys and seeing not only how he looked, but how he moved, the comparison one after the other. It's why I said the combine still has utility for some guys, because I do think that combined with incredible tape and a reputation that honestly probably should have had him closer in this conversation before, because you talk to any of the coaches at Texas, and as soon as he stepped on campus, they said, hey, 90 and Bird Orange is different. I'm just telling you. Like, I remember calling their games, and he was a freshman, and they're like, this dude is just different. And you see his ability to beat double teams, his low center of gravity, the power that he plays with, how even as a guy who's a little bit undersized by modern defensive tackle standards, still takes on double teams effectively, causes havoc in the backfield. I think he is exactly what you talked about. In a day and age where we're going to see, and we have seen already, right, the market reflects this in the veterans, more value placed on D-tackle in a world where there's still a lot of teams that want to go with lighter box looks, that want to spread it out offensively. And so you need guys that have three-down utility, not only as run stuffers out of these spread formations, but guys that can stay on the field in third down and get after it.
Yep, I love that. Well, Mike, I could talk to you about the draft all day, and in fact, do very often over beer. But thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll talk to you soon. Guys, we'll be right back.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And now we got EDM going. Excellent job all afternoon, Chris. Thank you so much. Carmen Vitale here, Fox Sports Saturday, coming to you live from TireRack.com studios, joined by Tracy Sandler for these last couple hours. Alex Curry was out today. We got our feel-good story of the week to talk about. And going back, we talked to Annie Costabile from the Chicago Sun-Times, who covers the Chicago Sky and has covered the WNBA and Chicago Sky for years now. And finally, the coverage and everything is starting to match the product. Things outside of the game are kind of starting to measure up. And that is not more true than Caitlin Clark, who is reportedly in the works to sign a shoe deal with Nike worth at least eight figures. Or well into eight figures, I believe, is what Sham Sharania was reporting on the Up and Adams show, our good friend Kay Adams. The shoe deal is well north of $20 million, is what he said. How far beyond that, he doesn't know. Mm-hmm. But it's well north of $20 million. The thing about this, too, was there was a bidding war for Caitlin Clark. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just Nike. It was, and what makes so much sense, too, is we talk so much about how Caitlin Clark has modeled her game after Steph Curry and has actually been able to apply that to the women's game along with her own personal touches. And Steph Curry is an Under Armour guy. And Under Armour pitched Caitlin really heavy. So much so that they had Steph Curry FaceTime into the meeting to try and get Caitlin Clark. This is finally, you're seeing these very rich endorsement deals for these WNBA athletes. And while that doesn't have a direct impact on how much the league itself makes, you think about the visibility that these women players are going to get, which should translate eyes to the women's game, which then does have an impact on revenue streams, media rights deals, all that fun stuff we were talking to Annie about earlier. And this is just, you know, another step in the right direction. I love it. I love it so much.
Oh, it's fantastic. And she's probably, it's reportedly she's going to have a signature shoe.
Oh, yeah.
And so that shoe does well, and you've got people wearing that shoe all over the place, then other WNBA athletes are going to have these kind of deals. It's a trickle-down effect, and it's going to be amazing. I am for sure buying a Caitlin Clark signature shoe if it comes to fruition. If I can get it. Where do I... Is there... I need someone to send me a link to a...
I know. Who's got... I need a plug. I don't have a sneaker plug. Like, I'm trying desperately to be a sneaker person, and I just don't have the plug. And there's so many of these shoes, you have to have a plug. You can't just go on to Nike.com and get one.
But I love the idea. I mean, I just love the idea of young girls, budding WNBA stars, being like coming home and saying, I've got to get the Caitlin Clark shoe.
Right?
That just brings a smile to
my face. I mean, you see celebrities wearing her jersey. Even now you see other basketball, like NBA players wearing Caitlin Clark jerseys. This is opening the door in so many ways, as Caitlin Clark has done just for the women's game in general. You see that she's now affecting the bottom line, which I think is what is actually going to grow this sport, because that's, it all comes down to money.
It's business.
It's a business. And if you can prove that the WNBA is a viable business, that, you know, this is a viable model to invest in, which it always has been. But now you're actually getting the eyes that it deserves. You're breaking all these viewership records all the way down to the NCAA level with the NIL and all that kind of stuff. We're going to see athletes really have a lot more power to bring these brands along. But I want to thank you, Tracy, for bringing me along. Because this is my first time hosting with Alex Gaughan, and you are a wonderful partner in crime.
Well, guys,
Chris Perfett, Bo Benson, Kevin Wyatt, thank you guys so much. This was awesome. We are going to see, I'll see you again next Saturday alongside Alex Curry. Thank you guys so much for joining us. You have a great Saturday.
Thank you, Fox Sports Radio.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.